The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Coming from the Isle of Tonga, in the beautiful South Pacific, Tama Tonga!
The Bad Boy's back!
Oh, yes.
From the Bullet Club!
The MLW Radio Network presents The Tiki Bar with your host, Tama Tonga.
What is going on? This is Tama Tonga with The Tiki Bar. This is the episode number 3, I hope, number 3, and I decided to bring in my brother, man, another family of mine. I know these past 2 episodes have been with my dad, so I decided to give him a break, and plus we're in Mexico right now. That's right. Me and my brother took a trip out here, are here, in Mexico, working for CMLL. We'll be here going on, 3 weeks?
Yeah, we'll be here for till July 13th. We got here the...
Yeah, when did we get here? Shit. Yo, we basically being, we made a week. Yeah, we came here a week ago.
2 more weeks.
Yeah, I think we got here on the 21st or 22nd, something like that. We were in Japan for their big show at...
At Osaka.
It's at Osaka Joe Hall. Where me and my brother dropped the IWGP heavyweight tag team belts to the Briscoe brothers. Now, we only held the belt for 2 months? 1 month?
Maybe two.
We didn't keep it long. We didn't keep it long at all. Good job, guys. Way to make your dad proud.
High five.
So we're on now on an excursion. All right. So let me tell you about my brother first before I go into this excursion. All right. His name is Tangaloa. He's had many experiences in WWE, TNA. My man has done great wherever he's went. Now when people were using him, did they use him right? Some say no, some say yes. It's all up to you guys. I personally think they didn't use it right, but it worked out to my benefit because here he is with me. So Tangaloa, well, you're gonna hear me refer to him as T the whole time. That we grew up as kids. His real, let me tell you his real name. All right, let me see if y'all can get this right. His real name is Tevita Tuamoloa Fetaaki Moyata Fifita. Can y'all say that? Say that real quick. Tevita Tuamoloa Fetaaki Fifita. Oh shit! Hey T, can you say his name, whole name?
Yeah, I can say my name. Right?
I'm just gonna call him T. Okay, so. Wow, man, like, just to kind of give you a quick background about T, man, we both went to high school in Poinciana High School, and then he went on right after high school, he went on to college, play. My man got a fucking Division I 5-year scholarship for football. Please tell us about that, man.
Growing up, you know, we were just taught to work hard, and that's all I knew how to do was work. So, you know, in high school, Tom and I would wake up early in the morning, starting our junior year, early in the morning. And we'd get to the gym at about, like, 5 in the morning, right when it opened. And we'd work out, and then school started at 7.
Hold up, let me pause that. We get to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning. Tia walk into the gym and go work out, and I sit in the car in the passenger seat and get my extra 30 minutes of sleep. Alright, so when working hard goes, my man T, that he was the hard worker, you know, at that time. At the very beginning, he was the one who's always had it. Alright, sorry.
Oh, you're good. But yeah, you could ask Moses Battle, who was our trainer when we were in high school. Our dad came into the gym and asked how the boys were doing, how we were, how our training was coming along. And then Moses said to our dad, well, have you seen them? And Dad's like, yeah. He goes, so which one do you think works in here? And he goes, okay.
Yeah. Hey, man, I like my sleep.
Yeah. So, yeah, Moses, you know, he let it be known, and Dad's like, all right. But come our senior year, we had accomplished a lot individually, and then we had our own team goals, whatnot. But I received a full scholarship to the University of Texas at El Paso.
A position?
I was recruited to play linebacker. And then when I did get there, I played linebacker. New staff came in and we moved me to DN. And then a new staff came in and we did a 4-3 defense where one of our DNs would be a red linebacker. We'd be both defensive end and linebacker in certain situations, certain zone coverages. But that's football. But, but definitely, like, there's that one moment in our lives, Tama remembers, where I promised our family, in front of our mom, our sister, in front of Pate, I promised that I would get a full scholarship to go to college and play football, because we had taken a trip. Our sister, who's the oldest, we had taken a trip to school with her.
She was a grade. She was 2 grades higher than us, yeah, right? Yeah. She was a senior, and we were sophomores. We just little runts, right?
Yeah, I forget what the university was, down south Florida.
Yeah,
and I just felt like we were treated like bitches, man.
Truth, all right? We were tails. Me and him would follow, and my sister was this like. She was this like superstar like athlete, yeah, in our county. I mean, she was it. Like, she really is though. She was very athletic. She was tall as a girl.
Yeah, you know? She's no doubt. Well, growing up, we lived sort of in the shadows of our father and our sister. Our sister is probably one of the smartest people we know, and at the time, she was the most athletic. She played every sport, and everybody knew her. Everybody knew our dad. And then we were just in the shadow. And then come this college trip, we get down to that university, and like, they said they wanted our sister to play down there, but it didn't seem that way. Like, if you really want someone to come work for you or come play for you, like, you show them that nothing but love. And when we got there, I didn't feel no love there. The way they treated Tama and I,
yeah,
and our mom, like, I hated it. And I was pissed.
We were both pissed. I still remember this day. Me and him sitting by that. It was like a fountain, some shit. Yeah, it was like, kind of fountain.
And we just sat there.
Pissed off,
pissed
man.
Off this whole thing.
10th graders. We're 10th graders. What, 16 years old.
Maybe a little younger, bro. I think we were like 14, 15.
We go into high school at 14, 15, right? And then you get your driver's license at 15.
Yeah, like Vika's like 2 years older than us, yeah. So like she was getting recruited before her senior year.
Ah, okay.
And that's when.
Yeah. So I just remember. I remember this. I remember my brother T looking, and he goes, "Man, fuck this." And I was like, "Yeah, fuck this." I was. If you could see a picture of me when I was younger, I was this skinny kid just. I was the run, and T was the natural. He looked like my dad, just naturally, just big, stocky, got the muscle, you know.
But be honest, like, I didn't look like our dad in high school, and, like, until my, like, end of junior year, senior year. Like, you could look at our freshman, sophomore photos, even, like, middle school, like, I shit straight looked like a lollipop. I had a big old head on a stick body.
Yo, he ain't lying. His head was huge. My man had to get, you know, when we play Pop Warner, he had to get specially made helmet for him, just for him, because his head was so huge. We'd walk, right? And he'd be, like, us and a group of friends, and my brother would always be the fastest one. He'd be walking ahead of us. I'm like, yo, shut the fuck out. Why don't you fucking walk with us? He goes, I can't help it. My head is doing too heavy, so when he leans forward, he has to catch up with his head.
That shit ain't true. I never said anything like that.
But you know,
that's only safe to assume that.
That's what I saw from it.
It's a good hypothesis.
But then, my man had that.
But not once have I ever admitted that. Like, just because I leaned forward, I was moved faster.
His legs didn't carry his head. He had to catch up with his head. And then we, nah, man, but he did a big old head, dude. Big old dome. So we, you know, at that time, it was just one of them things that me and my brother became. See, we were always competitive with each other. And so at that time, my sister was going through this and we felt no love. We made a promise. We made a promise to each other that no matter what, and he said it, that I'm going to get a full ride scholarship for football. I'm going to do it. And me, you know, me, I was just this like, you ever seen the wild thornberries with that little blah, 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 blah? That was like, I was Mowgli from the Jungle Book. I was just kind of like, just run everywhere. Nothing real. I never really think about anything. And I just followed him. You know, I just, whatever he wanted to do, I just followed. And I was like, yeah. We're not gonna get mom and dad's help. We don't need their help. We're gonna do it on our own. That kind of mentality.
Yeah. I definitely believe growing us together, growing up, our competitiveness with each other forced us or created this unity for us to want more than just what was provided by our parents.
Right.
I know we worked for everything. We had jobs when we were in high school.
I mean, it's normal.
For us to go to school, like, so our schedule, look, this is how we were when we were in high school. We wake up in the morning, go to the gym. School started at like 7:10, get to school. Then right after school, it was either extracurricular activity. Usually it was a sport, and then during that time we were working too. Like, we had a job. Like,
yeah, our mom never wanted us to have any kind of free time because she felt that when we had free time, especially me,
trouble was
bound. You know, that gave me time to think about, to connive up some shit. No, seriously. See, okay, I'll take you back even more. Now, me and my brother T, we're cousins. My mother is his mother's sister, my older sister. And so I'm related to them through marriage, you know, so... The good thing was that they came to vacation in Tonga in 1991, and I was living in Tonga at the time. And I was 7-8 years old, and I basically was this little Mowgli running around and dirty and just, I don't remember ever going to school, ever, right? So, like, when T and them came, T is this American kid. He's Tongan, but he's Americanized. You can tell the difference when you're in an island and you see, like, the outsiders come. And so we're family, but I'm looking at him. I'm like, I know you're Tongan, but you don't act Tongan. You know, so him and my sister Americanized. He only spoke English. He didn't speak any Tongan. And I, at the time, I didn't speak any English. I only spoke Tongan. So we had this... From that beginning when I met him, I remember what I'm just running around screaming, no fucking control whatsoever. And I remember him looking at me going, what's your problem? And I was like, what's your problem? I was just like a parrot. I would just mimic anything that he would say, that can get very annoying. Finally, my cousin, another Tongan who understood English, came and explained to me what he was saying. And I was like, why is he asking me that? Why is he asking me that? So that was, our meeting wasn't, it was just, you know, black and white. It was polar opposites. And so it wasn't a good start. It was very rough. And then, his mom, my aunt, she saw that, like, the life that I was living, and honestly, I was just living like this. I didn't go to school. I acted like I did. I would get up. First of all, I get up late, And then my aunt, T's mom, would be like, what time do you have to be at school? I was like, and I'll just randomly throw up a number. I didn't even know how to count then either. So I didn't even tell the time. So I get up, get ready, act like I was going to school, but walk around and go to the beach, go to the lagoon, just do whatever, and not show back up to the house until probably like 6 in the evening. And, you know, my real mom was out working all the time, so she never knew what was going on with me. So when my aunt and them came for vacation, she started seeing all this, you know, Aunt Dorothy, T's mom, and she started asking questions. What's he doing to me? What's going on? One day, she took me, I got back real late, and she was like, where you been? And I was like, school? She goes, okay. She grabbed me by my hand and we walked all the way back to school. Now this is probably 5 in the evening, okay? Walked me and she gripped on tightly to my wrist and walked my ass to school. She went up, the principal and my teachers were still there. Why they were still there, I have no clue why. So my aunt asked them and he goes, you know, where's Tama been? What's he doing? What's his grades like? And I remember them saying, Tama hasn't shown up to school for months. And I still had my school uniform on. And I looked at my aunt like, oh, shit. Man, dude, my aunt walked me back to my house, beating my ass. I was hanging off one arm, and she was swinging with the other one, beating my ass. And that's Natongan custom. That is fine, all right? Family members can have a hand in beating your little kid's ass, all right? It's all part of discipline. As I'm swinging from her arm like a monkey, fucking yelling at her, I'm thinking to myself, who the hell is this lady? Nobody hits me like this. Nobody. Of course, we get back to our place, man. And I remember my real mom coming in from, you know, from the market after working all day. And I remember looking at them. I was like, they were in a room and they were talking. I couldn't quite hear everything, but I was trying to listen. And then next thing I know, they come out. And they go, Tama, how would you like to go to America? Man, let me tell you, the dream of any Tongans is to make it to America. America is like the gates, the pearly gates, the land of the free, to come in and, you know, fulfill all your dreams. And I was like, hell yeah, let me go. And I don't know how my brother T was thinking or my sister were thinking. They were probably like, what the fuck? But man, I tell you, I thought I was only going to come here for maybe 2 weeks, do a little vacation, a little sightseeing, watch a little TV, you know, some color TV. Next thing I know, 2 weeks went to 2 months, 2 months went to 2 years. Next thing I'm here 25 years, I haven't been fucking back. What the fuck? Oh shit, man. But that's the beginning of that. That's how I met my brother T. And then it started from there. You know, when I'm a year older than him. I'm 30, I'm going on to be 34, he's 33. And it was a rough start for me and him. You know, because he's used to being the only child, the only boy,
the youngest of the boys.
Yeah, and the youngest, and he had his sister. It was just him and his sister, and dad at the time was he was on the rise. He was in WWE at the time, right?
Yeah,
he was coming in as King Haku, was with Andre the Giant. He was on TV all the time. So, of course, me, I have no clue what's going on. I don't know what wrestling is. I know what a TV was, but I didn't know what a color TV was. You know, I've never, when I came to America, it was all new to me. And then for T, me coming, I had to split the room with him. We had to get bunk beds. So he had to learn how to share with me. And it was hard. I gotta admit, it was, it had to be, just look at it from his point of view, it was hard. It was like, look, who is this motherfucker coming in taking all the attention? Now he's gonna come in, call my dad his dad, call my mom his mom. At the time, I didn't call them that, because I really didn't call anybody mom and dad, even call my mom mom and dad. I just kind of, I was just a wild child, man. And that was the very beginning, you know?
Yeah, that visit, man. And at the time, like you said, like, we were kids, you know? Like,
yeah.
We didn't know fucking anything better. And at the time, I thought it was a curse. I thought the fucking whole thing was a fucking... I thought, like you just said, it was like a visit.
And yeah.
Like, looking back at it now, it was a blessing. You know, we can't... You can't foresee the future when you're kids, man. You know, you're worried about the here and now, and then you
worry about you.
Yeah, you know,
me,
like,
me, me.
Oh, yeah. And I, growing up, like, before Pai was there, like, if anyone really knew who I was, like, most of my friends, like, looking back, I was a little bitch. I was a little puss boy. Like, I was being raised by my mom and my sister. And I was the youngest, and I was just a big baby, man. Like, we played with other kids in the neighborhood, and, like, any little thing that fucking, like, if I got hurt just a little bit, I was fucking crying my eyes out. I was, like, just so fucking such a bitch when I was growing up. And then Tama came, and then at that time, I was pissed. I really didn't understand why this kid... who legit looked like Mowgli. At the time, he even had, like, a Beatles haircut. Like, his hair was,
the
like...
The bowl cut.
You couldn't see his eyes. His hair was just in his eyes, and, like... I just remember that meeting. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, punch you right in the face.
I didn't want to punch you right in the face, but I was just like...
But I probably hurt myself. I could cry later.
But, yeah, man, fucking... I remember one of our first fights is, like... I almost, like, broke your arm because we were wrestling and I was getting pissed. And then I gave you an arm wringer. We were on the... I had you pinned and then we were getting up and I had you an arm wringer and I just kept twisting and then you're like... You said something and then tears and then mom comes out, what are you doing? And we had to go pick up dad from the airport and mom had to bandage you and dad looked at you and he was like, what happened? And mom goes, hey, tell him what happened. And I was like...
My man put a goddamn a for real arm ring on me. I had no clue what wrestling was. He's been watching his dad on, so he learned that shit on TV and he's making these moves on me. I was like, what kind of moves are these? What is he doing? You know, I'm all about clawing and biting and I didn't know rules. Hey, Tongans, man, we throw rocks, we bite, we scratch. I came here, my man put me in an arm ring. I was like, what the fuck is this? So, that was the thing. Like, you know, T opening about his young being what he was. Me, you know, coming from Tonga, my family was kind of like, it's a third world country, you know. There's only probably one paved road throughout the whole island. The rest is all gravel and it's poor. And so, to me, my family was a little well off. My grandpa has a farm. And he had a storefront. So we were a little bit better well off than others. So I was a spoiled poor brat. Third world country. I was really spoiled. You know, my family was more fortunate, and I took advantage of it. And I was a little brat too. I was a little brat. I would steal. I would like jump into other people's yard, climb up their guava trees. Me and my friends, they had their shirt down. And I started shaking the guava trees. All the guavas go down, and we jet. You know, the neighbors come out chasing us with the brooms. I was a little badass, man. I was always constantly thinking how you know me. How can I get for me? Always for me. You know, so that was it, you know. T had his way here and had my way over there. Mm-hmm. So for us to get brought in together, it was like truly the polar opposites of each other, and we had to learn. And it was hard. It was really hard. It took years and years.
Shit, yeah, it took years.
It took years and years to really work together, to see, to understand each other.
Yeah, it wasn't really till like like middle school.
Yeah.
Like right when we moved to Kissimmee Middle School.
Yeah.
That we learned, like, because we, growing up, we lived in a small community. It didn't have many people, different schools. So, like, a new school had popped up, and our mom was big on education. And that new school just wasn't fitting for us. So she called our one of our good friend's father, who was a principal at another school, and she said, hey, I want to transfer my boys. And sure enough, our good friend Troy Bell, his dad, said, yeah, bring him over. Mom got the paperwork done, and Troy and us went to Kissimmee Middle School.
Kissimmee Middle School, all the way in Osceola County.
Yeah, our mom would drive us all the way to school. We didn't have a bus.
Every morning, huh?
Every morning, every afternoon. It was like a 30-minute drive to get to a public school.
Yeah, it's a public school.
To go to a public school.
Hey, it's a public school. Easy now, easy.
Yeah, it wasn't a private school.
There ain't no private school. It was public.
It was a straight public school. And then, and legit, it was kind of hood.
It was hood. What are you talking about? It was like a country hood. Beaumont. I went from Beaumont. So,
yeah, it was...
So, you know, at that time, my brother and I, we started clicking in middle school, but we were still not, mostly
not. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
But we're definitely getting better at
it. Yeah. We played sports. And, of course, we played every sport that we ever played. Our parents, our mom, made us play the same one.
Same team.
Same team, same basketball team, same soccer team. We were never on any different teams. It always had to be both of us at the same one. I got pulled back. When I got here, I was a great hire. But she pulled me back, one, because I didn't know English, and two, so T can babysit my ass and tattletale on everything I did. So, and that's exactly what he did.
As a kid,
this dude was counting, just waiting for me. He would hide on corners, write down shit.
I fucking had it. My spy kid, detailing every fucking minute of the day.
Motherfuckers was watching 007 to learn how to spy on bitches. Shit. Nah, man, but I remember that. Remember, we were playing Pop Warner one time, and Pop Warner football, and me and him got into it. We got into it, and we were just like, we were trying to like fight each other with pads on. Of course, nothing was happening, you know. And then my dad was out in the field watching, and I remember him like on just, he sounded like a gorilla, you know, just a big hey. You know, but from the stomach, you know, from the stomach, and everybody froze. The coach froze, the whole football team froze, but except me and T were on top of each other. And he came and pulled us, man. Do you remember that?
Nice.
Nah, man, he pulled us, man, pulled us out of practice, took us home, and we got a beating from him. Is that when he brought our sister and whooped us both? Was that a different one? We've gotten... Yeah, look here. You're going to hear a lot of whooping stories, all right? So, that's tongue custom. I was getting... Well, he beat us both. You know, he always wanted... You know, the lesson was, you know, you guys got to look after each other. He always compared us to sticks, you know? You know, like a tree branch or
the
something.
It's Proverbs.
Proverb, you know? One stick, a person can break that stick. Give him two, be harder to break, you know? So that he always used the Proverbs, if that makes sense, you know?
So you can get it right.
Yeah, go ahead.
So in Proverbs, I can't remember the actual chapter and verse, but there's a father who brings his sons together and shows them one stick. And in that one stick, he's able to break it. Then he combines a bundle of sticks, and he shows to his boys, I don't know how many boys he had at the time, but he takes that bundle of sticks and he tries to break it, and he can't. And the lesson there is, by ourselves we can't, we can be broken, but if we come together and unite as brothers, we cannot be broken. And that was the moral of the story of Proverbs.
Yep.
And that's what, our dad's big into faith. He reads his Bible every day, so he could probably tell you what Proverbs, what chapter, what verse.
After he bites your damn nose off. Yeah. This guy.
He'll physically teach you a lesson, and then show you how the Bible would have taught you the lesson.
Listen, he'll say his blessings and then take a bite out of you. Damn, but you know, our family, you know, our dad always he pushed that, you know, to family as a family, stick together, and you know, it was hard. It was hard to, you know, here's this family who adopts an eight year old who's already had his shit figured out. Yeah. All right, I already had my shit figured out. I mean, your 8 year olds here in America ain't nothing like the 8 year olds in Tonga. We were 20 year olds then.
We were like any third world country.
Yeah, any third. You know, I knew we were smart. Street smart was our deal. We learned. I said school was for chumps, I thought. You know, so when I came here, I was like, oh, man, it's the land of the pickings, man. It was so easy. Yeah, I found out the hard way from the man's right palm. Boom! That wasn't. You know, but it took a while. It took me a very, very long while to learn. But going, you know, let's get back to me and T. You know, in middle school, we were starting to click, but there was still... We were, you know, you got your friends, I got my friends.
Yeah, we didn't have the same classes.
Yeah, he was a smart one. He had all the honors classes. I had all the try to learn English class. Now get this. So they put me in this class called ESOL, ESOL. Right? It's forgot what it's anyways.
English, Spanish.
Something
learning.
Basically to learn English. Well, they put me in this damn class all the way from fucking third grade all the way up to sixth grade. Sixth grade middle school. And what happened was, I ended up learning Spanish first. You know, and my dad was pissed. Because then I started speaking, I sounded like a Puerto Rican because it was all Puerto Ricans and my teacher was a Puerto Rican. So when he had to translate English and Spanish to all the other kids, I'd pick that up instead of learning English. And so my dad was pissed. They had to pull me out of that. And they really, my parents had a big hand in stepping in and teaching me how to speak English. And from then on, high school is when we really started to, like...
In high school, we started to click better.
Yeah.
We were back with all our friends, like the kids we actually grew up in with Pop Warner and basketball. And like, these were the kids that we hung out at bars with our dads. John Madden, Chris Marlowe.
Hold on. Before you at bars with our dads. Now let me explain that story. Alright? Help me here, okay? We played flag football, Pop Warner football, and it was our best friend's dad.
Who was
the coach. And that was my dad's best friend, you know. So when my dad wasn't on tour or in Japan or in Mexico wrestling, when he come home for those couple of weeks, few weeks, months,
days,
you know, he'd come to our practice. And then after practice was over, instead of taking the kids home, he'd go, come on, guys. And he'd go hang out with his buddies at the bars, but his buddies were my buddies' parents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was fine with us. It was all kids, and we go, they drink, and we play in the pool at the bar.
Yeah, we play like in pool and, table.
But it was a small community, so it was okay. Yeah. Everybody knew everybody.
It was the pub.
It was a pub.
The pub, or no, it was called the Outpost.
Outpost in Point Siena. The Outpost in Point Siena. And so that was our childhood right there, you know. If that was on a pay per view, the Outpost would put it on TV, and
yeah,
we'd go watch. We'd go watch it at the Outpost bar.
Yeah.
At 11 years old, but hey, it was fun. It was fun. It was a good time. So as far as fast forwarded to high school. Me and T had a really pretty successful high school years with sports.
With the culture of high school, I think what was awesome. Again, we were still in different classes, but our high school, Vika was there, our sister Vika was there, and then she transferred schools, but pretty much we knew everybody, and we got along with everybody.
Yeah.
But what I think what brought us even more together was, like, we played for a shitty football team. Our high school football team was the shit. And, like, we...
Our freshman year,
we were good. We had a fucking awesome freshman class. We were awesome.
Hey, and, tell them about that game against the Cowboys. Osceola Cowboys.
So our freshman year, we're cool. We're like, yeah. And then, like, our sophomore year... Like, we don't have that... Our population at the school is very small. Like, it wasn't a very big school. Like, we had maybe a total of, like, 2,000 kids. And then our football team... Shit, they only had... Before we became sophomores, like, right before... Or right when we were coming into our sophomore year, our football team only had, like, 6 seniors and maybe, like, 8 juniors. And then here comes 20-something... sophomores, freshmen turning sophomores, and it was our seniors, like, much love to them off the field, but they were the shits on the field. They were, like, as far as leadership goes,
no leadership,
they were dicks.
Yeah, man, dicks. they love their power being up there.
Yeah, they just loved being called a senior, and they thought they could just fucking.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember that year. I think our sophomore year was like that year we decided. Yeah, like that was when we started fucking.
That was our sophomore year. We got bumped up to the varsity football team. And let me tell you guys this:
we were joining a varsity team who was 9-1.
Yes,
I mean
No,
1-9. They had won their first football game, and then they lost the next 9.
And that's who we were putting up. They put us sophomores, these little ass motherfuckers, up on this varsity team. Okay, and let me tell you this:
20-something odd sophomores.
Yeah, we had to play. So our rival school was Osceola Cowboys. This was the year 1998.
It was 98-99.
Because
we graduated from there, yes.
Yeah, 98-99. And the Osceola Cowboys was the state champs.
That year. They were the team. They were an amazing team. They had...
Willie Green and all them.
They were stacked. They had a first team, second team, a third team. They had a third string team. Our team...
barely made one.
we played both sides of the ball. Like, yeah. This is like...
Man, dude. And so we played against them on their home field, okay? This was the first time in my life that I've ever been embarrassed. So embarrassed to the point that I didn't want to leave my room. They beat us... Okay, now, make sure you're listening now. This is a football game, okay? They beat us 81-0.
I'm going to let you know right now. There's a lot of things that Pat and I, our memories are fucking... We remember everything differently, like, so much. Like, there's a lot of things. Like, he remembers one side of the story, I remember one side of the story. But this fucking shit right here, 81-0, we both can agree on. Like, that fucking shit will be in our brains forever. Like,
forever.
You can't fucking forget shit like that.
My uncle, the Barbarian, some of y'all might know, he lives up in North Carolina. My man heard the story all the way up there. This is before social media, before fucking internet and all that bullshit.
It's just still fucking, like, landlines, newspaper. Like, someone caught wind of it and said, hey, yo,
a team down there in Florida got beat 81-0.
Got whooped.
I don't even know a sport that can even be like that.
Besides basketball? Like, to see a football score like that?
Oh, man. Oh, they brought in the third string, you know, and by that time...
We were already beaten.
Yeah, we were demoralized. Man, like, your kids just like, yo, why are we even... The game should have been cut. This game should have been, you know...
The game, right at halftime, it should have been
fine. All
right,
it's over. Nah, but they brought their guys in and just kept pounding us.
Third, first, second, third string.
Third string, man. Just kept pounding us. And I was just like, yo... And that kills the kids, you know? It kills our morale. That was on a fucking Friday. So that Saturday and Sunday, I didn't leave my place. Monday, I did not want to go to school.
Who wants to fucking go to school like that?
I was like, Mom, please. She goes, get your ass to school. She wasn't having none of that.
But you don't want to, but you're now, like, because of stereotypes, the jocks, you know, the most popular fucking kids at school, you know, like, nah, man. Nah, not this case, man.
Nah, man.
No one gave a fucking shit. Like, we were the drizzling shits. And honestly, our band was fucking phenomenal at that time.
Yeah, people were there to watch the band.
Our band was fucking bringing people to the fucking games. The band, they were all state.
We had a guy on our team during halftime leave our locker room to go play with the band.
Yeah, like legit. He goes, hey, I'm going to go play with some winners. We win awards, medals. We get honored by the state.
So, man. And I'll never forget that, but it did. That was a turning point because just like how we told you about me and my brother and our sister, when me and my brother turned to each other, she goes, "Fuck this, fuck that." There's always that point. Well, that point was that point for me and him. And I said, "Yo, nah, we're not gonna. It's not gonna be like this forever. We're not gonna let this happen for the rest of our high school year."
Yeah.
And we busted our ass, man. In every sport, we took that school up, man. We're from football. This is Ponce Santa High School. From football to soccer to baseball. Our baseball team was freaking the bomb. They came out. They won our district, our county. They were
awesome. Our track team was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, our track team. I mean, it was we had a lot of talent. I mean, you know,
our class legit from athletics to actual scholars. Like we had an actual like student base where our peers were brilliant.
Yeah,
from top to bottom. Didn't matter where they came from, what they chose to pursue.
Yeah,
we had an amazing class.
Yeah,
but return back to what we were talking about, but I will say one of the biggest turning points, Tom will remember this, is senior day. Do you remember senior day practice? Senior day.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Can I tell this?
Yeah.
So senior day, all right, and this
football.
Is football. Senior day, this is football. Senior. But it wasn't our senior day.
No, it was not.
This was the when we this is
sophomore
the,
year
sophomore year senior day. This was the seniors that had no leadership, and these were those guys. And so the ritual was when you came off of practice, the last very last practice
before your senior
game, these seniors would go around and try to bully the younger class.
Basically, pop like.
Blindside
motherfucking hit you.
Yeah, just blindside kids, and it's dangerous because a lot of people are getting hurt, you know. And so me, I'm this skinny little runt kid, and I was running my mouth, you know, because they were picking on this guy. I remember they were picking on this guy named Ryan Gordon. He was this big kid but slow, but he was our buddy, and they were just going after him, and I came up. But I was fast, okay? Super fast. Can't catch me. So I was talking shit with them, trying to get them running over my helmet, trying to swing to get them off, you know? Basically trying to protect our own. And I was just, you know, and they were all in the field. They were trying to chase me. They couldn't catch me. And I had my back towards the locker room, and they were towards the field. And I was just talking shit. I had my hands up. I was like, F you. You motherfuckers. That's why our team suck, because none of y'all can be leaders. None of this, that. And I'm just screaming. And like this, somebody came from behind and just cleaned me out. I'm talking about like he could have broke my spine in half. He hit me so hard from behind that I was in the middle, screaming, and it made my voice, and I hit the ground. And I remember hitting the ground, and I was like, what the fuck? And I looked up, and there's this fat, ugly, dorky freaking kid standing on me like he was some kind of, like he was so big and bad that he hadn't done nothing all year. He's a big ass dork who came from the locker room, who snuck from the locker room and came and hit me from behind, blindsided me. And I just looked, I remember looking up at him, he's standing over me. He's literally standing over me 2 feet. And I was like, what the fuck? And then, boom! and I couldn't see nothing anymore. Nobody was standing aside of me. I looked over, and my brother T had fucking blindsided him. I mean, cleaned his fucking junk up, and I had never been so happy. That was my, in my whole life, I think that was my, that was that moment for me and my brother. That you got my back, I got your back, you know? And when he hit the ground, I got up, and T was on top of him, and I got up and sort of started, you know, back to my talking shit and trying to fucking hit him. And all the seniors were all good. They couldn't believe what was going on, you know. And it was just one of them moments, and that was our defining moments as brothers, you know. To, you know, oh God, I was so glad he was there for that. I was so glad. And man,
it was a legit turning point.
Yeah.
I think not just for us, but like for the team as well. I think.
Yep.
Man, it was so. We were the shits, like, and to be in the shits, and like Tom and I, when we were growing up, we weren't the shits. Like, we actually played with some great players. We had on our little league teams, Pop Warner teams, wherever we played, we had success. And this is the first time we weren't successful, and it sucked, and it hurt, and it was the shits. And we promised each other, like, we never wanted to be like that ever again.
Ever, ever.
No one wants to be the fucking shits.
Nobody wants to be the shits, you know. And I wasn't gonna, that, you know, if I was handed that hand, I decided that I wasn't gonna accept that hand, that right. I was gonna take it, and I was gonna make gold out of that fucking hand, you know. So. And that set the bar for everything. Yeah. Everything we did in high school, from then on, we were like, we were shooting for greatness. We were shooting for greatness, you know. Except when we would go work out in the morning and Tigo work out and I just sleep in the car. I was like, oh, I got speed. Nobody can catch me. I'm too quick for them. Okay, sorry guys. We are out of time, but we'll be back more next week as we take this show weekly here on MLW Radio Network. We now have our own iTunes and RSS feeds, so you can grab our show directly. Go to mlwradio.com to learn more or search for us on iTunes. Peace!
The world of MLW Radio never stops.